Well, like always, I ask for grace. I oftentimes feel like I have no idea what I'm doing up here. I do thank you for the privilege of coming up here, but as always, I pray for grace. I wanted to start today with a short little story, testimonial of a man named Jasper Kaplitz. So it says that Sir Jasper Kaplitz was 86 years of age. When he came to the place of his execution, he addressed the principal officer thus, "Behold a miserable ancient man who hath often entreated God to take him out of this wicked world, but could not until now obtain his desire. For God reserved me until these later years to be a spectacle of the world and a sacrifice to himself. Therefore, God's will be done." One of the officers told him, in consideration of his great age, that if he would only ask for pardon, he would immediately receive it. "Ask pardon, I will ask pardon of God, who I am frequently offended, but not to an emperor who I have never gave any offense. Should I sue for pardon, I might justly suspect I had committed some crime for which I deserve this condemnation. No, as I die innocent, with a clear conscience, I will not be separated from this noble company of martyrs." So saying, he cheerfully resigned his neck to the block. And then I just want to read John 15:19, that if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Last week for Mother's Day breakfast, Kevin came around to us, parents of young children, asking if our kids had any kind of nut allergy, because his waffles had nuts in them. And if anyone has any kind of allergy, especially to like a nut or anything, that you understand that if you were to come in contact with a nut with that kind of allergy, it could become very, very harmful, even deadly, if you ate something with nuts in it. And in a weird way, that kind of leads me to what our key text is today. If you could go ahead and turn to Romans 8, we are going to bounce around a little bit. I would say kind of stay in Romans 8, and then everything else I should project up to the screen, so you shouldn't have to jump around a lot. But our key text today is, "If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live." So, first thing I want to point out is that it says that we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh anything. That sin has been trying to kill us since we were born, and we should not pay our enemy for our own destruction. We are not debtors to the flesh. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And this tells us that if we put to death the deeds of our body, that we must kill our sin. That either we kill our sin, or our sin will kill us. And there's no living with sin. There's no living in harmony with sin and God. So I want to go back to the nut allergy. That if you're allergic to nuts, those nuts can kill you. And if the nuts kill you, or if they will kill you, you'll do everything in your power to stay away from nuts. You won't keep them in your house. When you go out to eat, you're very, very observant. You ask if things are prepared with nuts, if there's nuts in things. You'll keep... you'll equip yourself with things to combat an allergic reaction, like an EpiPen on you. That when you are allergic to nuts, you're going to obsess about nuts. And rightfully so, because we're going to obsess about the things that will kill us. And for the allergic, nuts are a very real threat, and avoiding them is not a passive activity. And here Paul is telling us that if we do not kill our sin, the deeds of our flesh, then it will kill us. So my question to start off today is, are we obsessing with sin like we would be a nut allergy that would kill us? Are we doing everything that we can in our power to stay away from sin? And are we equipping ourselves with the weapons against sin? Are we treating sin like a real threat, or are we treating sin more as like moral guidelines? Avoiding sin should not be a passive activity. And whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we are at war. We are at war with the flesh and at war with the deeds of our body. And until we believe that the stakes are our soul, the result is that we will treat our Christianity with very little to no passion. So to live, we must kill the deeds of the body. And to better understand this, let's talk about what those deeds of the body are. Jesus said in Matthew 18 that if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire. So we're going to jump into Romans 6 and then take a look at two verses that are going to shed a highlight to Romans 8:13 about what those deeds of the body are. So first, Romans 6:13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God for those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Repeat that. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So, an idea of what the deeds of the body that we are meant to kill. These are the deeds that we are about to do when our bodies are instruments to unrighteousness. And we're going to go back a verse in Romans 6 to 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. That when sin captures in our body, it's going to make us obey it. And so there we can kind of put together an idea of what the deeds of the body are. So the deeds of the body are the deeds that we are about to do prompted by sin or lust or unrighteousness. Now, sin runs deeper than its deeds, though. We just heard that the deeds are just the instruments of the sin. So now, what does Paul mean by putting it to death? Again, we'll go back to Jesus. I think he's probably a good person to go to. He says, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. So the deeds of the body are the instrument, but the root is the heart. So it's not enough just to put a stop to the deeds. The deeds are just the symptom of the root cause. That you have to put sin to death. And when you're weeding, you have to pull the whole weed out, get the root. Because if you don't get the root, the weed's just going to grow right back. So you kill the bad fruit by severing the bad root. So what is the bad root? We'll see that in Romans 8, verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Remember what Jesus said, that from the heart comes the evil thoughts. So, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the root of the deeds of the body that we have to kill is the flesh that is hostile to God and is unwilling and unable to submit to Him. So, if you are living according to the flesh, you will die. So, flesh, sin, deeds of the body, these are the enemies that we are at war with. And it's an enemy because it is insubordinate and hostile to God. So, to kill the deeds of the body, you have to sever the root of hostility and insubordination that rejects God. So now, how do we kill these deeds of the body? So we talked about what the deeds are, what does it mean to kill the deeds, how do we do so? And we are told that we must kill the deeds by the Spirit. So to kill the deeds of the body by the Spirit, we first have to set our minds to the things of the Spirit. So going back to Romans 8, notice how Paul speaks of the flesh and the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So the first step to the answer is putting to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit involves setting your mind to the things of the Spirit. So we don't just look at temptation and say no. I mean, we do that, but anyone can stop a bad habit. The unrighteous can go ahead and stop doing something. We can all stop sinning. But again, when the root of the sin is in our hearts, there's a difference by living by the Spirit and just being a moral person. If you're going to put sin to death by the Spirit, you have to do more than just stop willing yourself to stop sinning. You have to direct your mind, your heart, and your spiritual practices towards the things of the Spirit. So now the question is, what are the things of the Spirit? And for that, we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul talks about his own teaching as God-inspired words. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So in here, when we talk about the things of the Spirit, we're talking about words spoken by the apostles, inspired by God. So in Romans 8:6, which says, those who are in according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, what he's saying is that they are setting their minds to the words of God. So these things of the Spirit that the natural person rejects, the spiritual person embraces. So to put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit is to set your minds on the things of the Spirit, which is embracing the words of God. I'm going to wrap it up at the end here. I'm going to try to put it all together. I know I'm probably saying a lot, so bear with me here. If we continue reading in 1 Corinthians, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So the people of the world do not believe the word of God. But we are not called to be the natural person. We're called to live by the Spirit and hear the word of God and trust the word of God by faith. So to put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, we must set our minds to the things of the Spirit, which now means setting your mind to the words of God in Scripture. Okay, and then this is going to lead us to Ephesians 6:10, where I'm hoping that everything kind of gets tied together here. That if we are at war with sin, that we must prepare ourselves. Paul says that in battle, we must put on the full armor of God. And among all the armor that he tells us to put on, there's only one offensive weapon that he tells us, which is the sword of the Spirit. And when we link that to Romans 8:13, first let's look at the word, like it's the sword of the Spirit. So if we are looking to put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, and we have an offensive weapon to put to death the deeds of the Spirit, with the sword of the Spirit, they link together very nicely, where that would seem like the appropriate weapon to use to combat sin. Then when we look at what the sword of the Spirit is, it says it is the Word of God. And that links it together with the verse in 2 Corinthians, which confirms that the sword that kills sin is the Word of God. So the way that we kill sin by the Spirit is to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, that is the Word of God, which then becomes the sword of the Spirit. That's a lot of the Spirit. So I want to recap it here, so hopefully we can kind of take it with us during the week. There's a lot of jumping in Scripture, and I apologize if I can see how you get lost or messy or anything like that. But to recap, if we live according to the flesh, we die. So to live, we must kill the deeds of the body. The deeds of our body are not physical, but internal. To kill the sin in our heart, we must set our minds to the things of the Spirit. And how do we do that? We set our minds to the Word of the Spirit by trusting in His promises and by faith. Lastly, we kill the sins by taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, we kill sin with the Word of God. This is basically everything, if we want a one sentence of what all that was, we kill sin with the Word of God. And if we do not trust in His promises, we will never defeat sin, because sin can never live in harmony with God. So when we do not kill the sin in our lives, we will never live in harmony with God. Going back to Jasper Kaplitz, he was able to lie his head on that chopping block with joy, because he knew that to live with Christ and to die was gain. He no longer lived in the world or was a debtor to flesh. And he feared offending God much more than he feared offending any man. And we need to be fearful of how we're offending God. That we need to look at our sin as a real threat to our current life, not just our immortal life, but our lives today. We need to become deathly allergic to our sin so that when we come in contact with it, we have a visceral reaction to it. Our throat closes up. We can't move. We're paralyzed. We need to get that sin far away from us. We need to pull out our epi-sword of the Spirit and inject all that wisdom into our spirit with it. I wanted to close out just by reading just the first few verses of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. For the one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze at the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. When David was talking about that, he said that there was nothing on this earth that he was afraid of, because the glory of what he had coming to him was so much greater than anything that could frighten him on this earth. He had a faith in God, lived by God's words. When we set our minds to this, to outside of this world, we will become much more confident in our ability to avoid those sins. But when we keep ourselves with the world, when we become of the world will love us, and God will hate that. My message today is just make sure you have that sword of God with you at all times. So when sin creeps in, you have the offensive weapon to do away with that sin. Stay in the Word. Live by the Word. Have faith in His promises, for He has never let us down. Now let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for the Word. We thank You that we have a direct connection to You that is easy and accessible to us, Father God. We ask that not only do we stay in the Word, we encourage each other to get in the Word, that we treat the Word like any other thing, like any other book that we might read and recommend to a friend. Father God, let Your Word just burn fire inside of us that we cannot wait to share it with others, Father God. Allow us just Your Spirit, Father God. Equip us with Your sword. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Thank you, guys.